Blog Talk Radio.
So, after my sister passed in November 2022, we got the word that my sister's husband was moving.
Everyone, welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. The song that we was listening to was courtesy of Vashawn Mitchell. The name of the song is Joy. And the lyrics open up saying, there's beauty in my brokenness. And tonight, our topic is mental wellness, hospitality, part three, and our topic is brokenness. And I would like to start the show by asking a couple of questions about brokenness. Have you ever experienced a hurt, a pain, a trauma, a blow that hit you so hard that it shattered your life into pieces. Are you broken today, or have you ever experienced being broken? And how did you overcome your brokenness? Psalms 51 and verse 17, it says, "My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, broken down with sorrow for sin, and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise." And that is the Amplified Version. So I wanted to put a little spin on this topic entitled brokenness, because there, I want you to think about a battery. On one side of the battery, we have a negative, and on the other side of the battery, we have a positive. So there is a negative side of brokenness, and there is a positive side of brokenness. Oftentimes, God will use the brokenness that we experience to mature us, to develop us, to cultivate the gifts inside of us, and to help us understand what he really placed inside of us. Now, he's not always behind the negative things that happen to us. And everything is not always the devil either. Sometimes we experience brokenness because of the choices that we make, because of our own brokenness and our inability to really trust God and rely and depend on his word. So there are several ways that we can be broken. There are several ways that we experience brokenness. And I want to talk about David for a moment before we open up, because in Psalms 55, David presented a prayer to God during a time in his life when he was shattered into pieces because of the betrayal and powerful conspiracy of a friend that he trusted and believed in. And if we take a closer look at Psalms 54, we will find David's prayer asking God to vindicate him when Saul and his army were looking for David to kill him because Saul was jealous of David. And to learn more about that story, please read 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and the key verse there is 19. I'm presenting a lot of scriptures tonight because the word of God is full of examples of brokenness, broken people. And we learn through their stories how to overcome our own brokenness, but we also get a chance to see the operations of the enemy. Now, one of the strong points of the ministry that God has blessed me with is exposing the works of the enemy. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So going back to David, David also experienced a similar brokenness and betrayal when his son Absalom conspired to take or overthrow his kingdom. And to learn more about that story, please read 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. You can read all the way through chapter 17 to gain a better understanding of that. So going back to Psalm 51, you will find a psalm of repentance when David was broken and repented to God for committing adultery with Bathsheba. Not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, but he also committed murder. He placed her husband Uriah on the hottest part of the fire. So David murdered a very good friend, a very good warrior, just to cover up what he did with his wife. So I'm giving all of these examples again to show the different ways that we experience brokenness. True brokenness will move you to God in a spirit of humility and a spirit of repentance. False brokenness will move you away from God, and it will have you filled with mental anguish, torment. You enter into condemnation and you beat yourself up over the head and you believe the lies of the enemy, and the enemy is constantly telling you negative things. He's speaking lies and he doesn't want you to believe that God will forgive you, that God will restore you. So when that mental anguish comes in, then we get despair, we get discouragement, we get depression, and all of that is a part of the brokenness. So the purpose of sharing these scriptures and to just give this overview for tonight's show is to share the life lessons that David learned. One, when David was broken and betrayed by people that wanted to hurt him without a cause. Is anyone listening tonight where somebody wanted to hurt you without a cause? Well, stay tuned. We're going to have a very good show tonight. David stood accountable for the brokenness he received for sinning against God and was quick to repent. Are you quick to repent when you fall short of the glory of God? Or do you take a long time to come into that place of agreement with yourself and with God where you can say, hey, God, I did this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what? God will forgive you. So I have a few questions. Are you broken because of the betrayal of a friend? And how did you respond to what happened to you? Are you broken because you betrayed a friend? How did your friend respond to what happened to them? Did you cry out to God, asking God to help you work through the brokenness, the mistreatment that you received from your friend? Did you cry out to God in repentance, standing accountable for the role that you played in breaking and mistreating your friend? So I want you to pause and think about that, because we have all been broken, betrayed, and mistreated by someone at least once in our lives. But we have also broken, betrayed, and mistreated someone else. Remember the battery? We're going to talk about the negatives and the positives. And even while I'm speaking, God may be bringing something to your remembrance. And anybody that is listening at any time throughout the broadcast, if you have a question, a comment, or testimony, or a prayer request, please press 1 and we will grace you on the mic. So the key here is to cry out to God in repentance, like David did, and ask God to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and to seek forgiveness from those that we have mistreated. So I pray that something I said so far has been a blessing to you. This is how I wanted to open up tonight's show, and I want to greet my co-host tonight, which is Apostle Sheila A. Olive and Erica Burnett. How are you doing, ladies?
Good evening, good evening. Doing well.
Wonderful. So I don't think Erica is here yet, so we will continue to open up, just with the discussion. Is anything standing out to you, Sheila, that was shared so far?
I think any time you've been afflicted and wounded, it makes you conscious of wounding other people. And so you mentioned about afflicting someone, a friend, or being afflicted. And I think from... I was thinking about once you've been wounded, once you've been hurt, once you've experienced brokenness, you become tenderhearted, compassionate, empathetic toward others, and mindful of the fact that, I've experienced that deep hurt, and I don't want to afflict that on other people. And I was thinking along the lines of Jabez. And remember, at one point, Jabez, the prayer of Jabez was very, very popular. amongst believers, and there were several books written about the prayer of Jabez. And his mother named him Jabez because she was afflicted with a great deal of pain during his childbirth. But in the prayer of Jabez, he prays a prayer and asks to not let him inflict pain upon other people. And I think that's a powerful statement, a powerful prayer to pray. And it's something that we need to be mindful of.
That is a good example because, you know, sometimes we don't even know we inflict pain on other people or and that pain could cause them to be broken. And sometimes we do because we're deliberate on it, because we're not always, like, we had to grow into spiritual maturity. We had to grow as, you know, human beings and not take out our frustrations or retaliate. At least I know I did. But for Jabez to pray that prayer, that's a powerful prayer. And I believe that's the kind of prayer you can't do it on your own. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit, because if we get caught up in our feelings and our emotions, Sheila, it's like, oh, my goodness, you don't know what you're going to say. You don't know how you're going to react or what you're going to do. So, but that is a very, very good example. Thank you for sharing that. And then, you know, Jabez, he asked God, keep his hand upon him so that he would know no harm. Oh, that's good. Yes. I love the word of God. Thank you for bringing that out. And we do, Erica, our co-host, Miss Erica Burnett, life coach, she is on the line. Hi, Erica. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good, good. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you very much. I'm great. How are you ladies doing?
We're doing good. You could just jump right into the conversation.
Thank you. Okay. I think it wasn't a question. I'm just giving my comment, right, on brokenness.
Whichever way you want to go. You could comment to something I said, something Sheila said, or just something brand new.
When I think of, brokenness, and I'll speak to what Apostle Sheila mentioned about, you know, or both of you actually, how, you know, your words can actually break a person and cause them to be in a broken state. And I want to speak to that. A lot of times our brokenness or the individual's brokenness doesn't, it's like historical. So when you go to, let's say you go to say something, you go to speak on something, maybe you might tell a friend, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this, that, or the other because of whatever, or you're this kind of person and whatever, and you just off the top of your head, and they kind of break down and maybe start crying or they get angry or whatever have you. A lot of times our brokenness is historical, meaning that we just provided the straw that broke the camel's back, that old saying. So it's not that a lot of times, I don't think most times we do it on purpose. When we say something that may cause somebody to go over the edge or may cause someone to get in that broken state where they're, you know, in a strong emotional pain, I just think it's humans being humans, and a lot of times we are not very sensitive to each other, which we should be, and we need to learn how to be, how to read people and how to look at people and know, you know, that this person is in a sensitive state or this person is not doing very well emotionally. We need to pay more attention. I think it's just that, you know, we human beings are just not, a lot of times we don't pay attention, and sometimes we operate from our own. So when you're operating from your own pain, you want somebody, you're suffering, and you want somebody else to suffer. You know what I mean? And you don't do it, and it's not that you're doing it purposely, in my opinion. It's just that you want someone to feel where you are. You don't want to be alone in what you feel, and you want somebody else to share in that. And I know it's not fair a lot of times, but most times we're working from that, and we're working from our own brokenness, and so we just throw it at somebody else and say, I'm tired of feeling like this, you know, on my own. I want you to know what it feels like, and we put it out there, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a lot of broken folks out here, and, you know, hurt people, and that's a true statement. That's a true statement. I don't think a lot of times it's intentional, you know, and that's just my opinion.
But that's a very good opinion. That's what I love about the talk show and the ability to come from our own perspectives, but then God takes our words and he blends it together. Just like, you know, when we was in school, we used that those crayons to make different colors and end up having a beautiful picture. So I love both. I love what both of you said so far. I want to break down the definition of broken. So the Webster Dictionary, the Merriam Dictionary, it says broken is violently separated into piece, into parts or pieces, or to be shattered. Broken is to be damaged or altered by or as if by breaking. So if we had a glass in our hand and we threw it on the ground, bam, it's going to break into pieces and it's going to shatter. So broken is also having undergone or been subjected to fracture. You could fall playing basketball or football and fracture your leg or your arm. So when something is broken, it's not working properly. And broken is violated by transgression, not kept or honored. And when something is broken, it's interrupted. It's discontinuous. Like if you ever go to sleep and somebody call you in the wee hours of the night, you just can't go back to sleep because they interrupted your sleep. So the definition of broken, mm-hmm. it covers a wide variety of topics. And one of the main ones that stand out to me, it says broken is also to be made weak or infirm, to be crushed or sorrowful, to be disconnected, mm-hmm. or to be bankrupt and not complete or full. And then the last one is disunited by divorce, separation, or desertation of one parent. So children, an example, children can come from a broken home. There's a lot of broken homes today. There's a lot of broken marriages today. And when you think about the word crushed, there's a lot of people, Erica, that are hurting. And as you said, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people have broken hearts. Hurt people have broken spirits. So throughout all of our broadcasts, since we started this journey, we have been talking about mental wellness. And the topic that always comes up, and I always ask it, do you have a hole in your soul? Do you have a hole in your heart? And when we have a hole in our heart is broken. And when your heart is broken, what do you do? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? What are some of the things you think about in that moment when you are first broken? And so we're going to ask some very specific questions tonight, and we want to be very real, very raw tonight. Each of us, we're going to share a testimony of our own brokenness just to glorify God, because the Word of God says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I have one scripture that I want us to all focus on, because our brokenness serves a purpose. And our objective tonight is to get you to look at your brokenness from a different perspective. For those of you that wasn't on the line when we opened up, the song we opened up with was Joy by Vashawn Mitchell. And it says, there's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom, though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. So this brings me to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. In verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. And this is the key verse right here. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement, which is prison, to proclaim release from condemnation, which is false guilt, to proclaim release to the physical and spiritual captives and freedom to prisoners. And right here, I just want to glorify God and tell him thank you, God, for trusting Apostle Sheila. Thank you, God, for trusting Life Coach Erica. Thank you, God, for trusting me, and you put your spirit upon us. And thank you, God, for everyone that is listening to this broadcast, because I believe that your spirit is also upon them. And I believe with all of my heart that whether we preach from a pulpit, whether we preach from the pew, on the bus, in our car, on our job, wherever you use us, wherever God use you, God is using us because his spirit is upon us. He has anointed us. He has commissioned us to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. But dig this, God sent you, yes, you, even in your brokenness, even in your weariness, even in your tiredness, even with the spirit of heaviness just beaming down on you. And sometimes you feel so dark. Sometimes it seems like you can't even see the light. Even in that state, the spirit of the Lord God is upon you. And that's one thing I want to really highlight. Because in your brokenness, the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy and make you feel like God will not use you. And the truth of the matter is God has called you, God has appointed you, God has need of you. And we want to remind you that God sent you to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Now, sometimes when you're wounded yourself, sometimes when you are afflicted, you don't feel like you can do what God has called you to do. And to be honest, you don't care about doing it because all you know is you're broken, you're wounded, you're hurt. And if you have placed walls up to protect yourself, even in that protecting yourself, you end up imprisoning yourself, which is another form of brokenness and confinement. And condemnation creeps right in there. So, ladies, I just wanted to give that backdrop so the mics are open. Let's just dig into this conversation. And whoever wants to go next, please feel free to do so. And let's have fun. Let's not be so serious tonight. Let's just, you know, really have a good time.
I think the scripture you read was awesome. It almost brought me to tears because that's one of the scriptures that God gave me when he called me to the pastorate. And so that it's a powerful scripture. It's an empowering scripture, and it gives promise and it gives hope. And it gives direction for those who are called to heal the brokenhearted. And so you mentioned earlier about David and his experiences with brokenness. Another awesome example is Joseph. Joseph experienced a great deal of brokenness and at the hands of those he loved. You know, betrayal is felt deepest when it comes from those you love. And so here is Joseph who shared his vision, his dream with his father and his brothers and was catapulted into a cycle of brokenness that eventually took him from a pit to the palace. But in between the pit and the palace, there was a great deal of pain, a great deal of subjection, of submission, humbling, that went along with being broken in preparation of where God was taking him to. So our brokenness is often part of a greater process that God is using to hone us for where he's taking us to.
Yes, that is true. I totally agree with you on that. Totally agree. Erica, you want to piggyback or you want to?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was taking notes. I was sitting here writing my little notes. What I want to say is now I went through a great deal of brokenness because of my divorce. And it was before I even got divorced, meaning during my marriage. And I was in a unhealthy marriage, an emotional and mental abusive marriage, where I was, you know, literally just begging for time, begging for help, all of this different stuff. And the thing about it is, the weird thing about it is, I didn't even know that it was emotionally or mentally abusive. I thought the stuff was normal. And that's because of my background, meaning the abandonment issues that I had dealt with my father not being in home. So I've in my environment as well. I'm not saying anyone taught me, you know, that this behavior was cool, but all you heard was, well, you know, marriage is not perfect and nobody's perfect. And you're going to go through hard times. So, see, I'm thinking that, you know, what I was going through was the hard times that everybody was talking about. And so I said, okay, we're going to see if we can tough it out. But I couldn't tough it out. I got to the point where all I wanted to do was eat, sleep, and go to work. And that's all I did. That's all I did. I would come home from work, and I would try to pour myself into just cleaning the house or whatever have you. And all I wanted to do was just lay down. I had no energy. I didn't want to do anything else. And when it came to being in front of people, family members and stuff like that, because they had no idea. They didn't know what I was going through. I had to put on a little front and sit there and smile and act like everything is cool and just keep everything on the inside. And I just could not anymore. I got to the point where I had, like, sharp pains in my stomach just from stress, just from dealing with all of that stuff and from keeping it, you know, inside. And one day, and this is before I even got divorced, even thought about divorce, because divorce wasn't on my mind in the midst of all of it, I just dropped down on the floor. And I started to bawl, and I cried for, like, an hour on the floor, that deep cry where the snot and everything just coming out your face and you can't stop it. And I'm just tissue after tissue after tissue. And I'm talking about why this got to be me. And I just go, and I know God was like, poor thing. And I'm sitting up there, I'm like, why I got to, I don't like feeling like this. I went through the whole entire thing. And it's a grieving process. When you are broken spirited and you're emotionally broken, you just can't function like you normally would. Your happiness is gone. You're in a sad place, and you just don't know what to do, and God gets a hold of you. It's like a grieving process. It's like, okay, I'm taking you through this so you can let go. And that's the grieving part of it. When you break down like that and you start to cry, that's your body releasing everything out of it to say, we got to let this stuff go so now you can heal and move forward. And it's not a fun place to be. Being broken is not a fun place, but the thing about it is we normalize it as people. We think that the way we feel when someone hurts our feelings, when they say something that they shouldn't, is out of pocket. In the back of your mind, your subconscious is saying that wasn't right, or your spirit is saying now, what they just said wasn't right, but the flesh says, well, you know, that's normal, whatever. And we just try to overlook certain things or whatever. We just try to just suck it up because people have taught us, or an environment says, this is the way things are supposed to be. But it's not. It really isn't. And it's, like I said, brokenness is no joke. It can send you to an abyss of depression where you stay there and you believe that this is the way life is going to be, this is the way it has to be, and it's going to continue to be this way, so you might as well get over it. And that's not true. And I'm here to tell people that's not true. And a lot of people are walking around broken because, number one, they don't want to relive what they've been through. They don't want to relive it. That's why people don't get the necessary help. They don't talk about these things, because when you talk about it, you got to relive the entire thing all over again. And who wants to relive something they've been through that was heartbreaking, that was depressing, you know, that had them on the edge of possibly thinking about taking their life? Nobody wants to go through that. But I'm here to tell you, that's something you need to go through it. You need to go through that, because it's unhealthy for you to stay in that state that way. So you got to go through it, and you got to go through that grieving process so you can reach the other side. Because I have reached the other side, and it was not easy. I did not want to go through that, but I had to go through that in order to see the benefits of releasing myself from something that was so damaging. So after I came out of that process of grievance, then I went on and God said, okay, I release you from this marriage. And he released me. He said, now it's time for you to go. And I never even thought about divorce. And one day my ex-husband asked me, he said, well, what's wrong? And I said, I want a divorce. Out it came. And I never even thought about it. Never even. There was no pre-thought about divorce. It just came out. God released me from it and said, this is over. It's time for you to move on. And that was, and I had already gone through the grieving process. But once I did that and released, it was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And I know people are, you know, I'm not telling nobody go out here and get divorced. I'm not saying that. That was my situation. A lot of times what we believe we're supposed to stay in, we're not. We're not supposed to stay in it. That's why it's important that you go to your Creator and you wait for his answer. Because I waited for that answer for, I think, a couple of years. I put my husband's name in the Bible. And I put my father's name, because my father had caused the abandonment, and I put both those names in the Bible, and I said, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. I put their names in the Bible, and I said, God, please take care of this for me. Put them in the Bible and closed it, and about a couple of years later, he worked me through the process and released me and said it's over and confirmed it when I was out somewhere at an event, and an apostle that I had just met came up to me and he said, I want you to know that what you're going through is not your fault. And I'm looking around the corners and I'm like, well, who? I said, there's nobody tell me. I ain't telling this man nothing. Okay, I didn't tell him anything about what was going on. And he confirmed it and he said, it's not your fault. Don't blame yourself or whatever. And I just could not believe it. And I didn't mean to get long-winded, you guys, but.
Oh, no.
That is just not a good place. Mm-hmm. And it's understood, I'm sure, by everybody on this call that, you know, that is not a good place to be. You're not alone. And the best way you deal with brokenness and your, you know, your emotional pain is to talk about it. You got to talk about it. You know, and sometimes it goes beyond God. Sometimes you go to God and you say, okay, I don't know what to do. Tell me. And sometimes he'll lead you, because he understands we're in the flesh, we're human. So he may say, go talk to your aunt that you have the good relationship with. Go talk to your pastor. If you're at a church, go talk to your pastor. You got a girlfriend, go talk to her, because you need to release it. And he understands that. He understands we need to release this stuff face-to-face with a human a lot of times. Somebody else who understands and can walk us through. So it's no joke. I just urge everybody on, please seek help. Do not go through something alone. Do not have these feelings of brokenness and emotional pain and just sit there and think that you have to sit in that and marinate. You do not. The minute you go through something, get the help you need.
That was good, Erica. And ladies, never apologize. Even our guests, when you get on the mic, whatever you need to say, say it. Don't worry about, you know, if you an hour, then I'm a tag on your shirt tail. But, you know, that's a little bit of joke. But just be yourself, because we're not worried about time. We want to make sure that the quality of this conversation is touching hearts and that everyone can say what they need to say. And Sheila, you're going to have an opportunity.
Yeah.
We're all going to share, but right now I really feel like there's just so much that Erica said. Do you have a question for her in regards to her process that she went through? And we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to open up the line after this round of discussions in response to Erica's testimony about brokenness.
I don't have a question, but she identified one of the key elements of brokenness, which is grief.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times people associate grief with the loss of a loved one. But grief is also attached to traumatic events like a divorce, the loss of a job, the loss of a home. You know, a lot of people went through during the housing debacle, they lost their home. And that was their dream. The devastation of a dream not fulfilled can bring grief in your life. And grief is oftentimes debilitating and can keep you stuck in like what Erica described as an abyss of darkness, an endless tunnel of darkness where you feel like you're groping around to find the light. And so that was an awesome testimony, Erica.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome testimony. And I have a comment and I have a question. And my question to you is, you said in the midst of your brokenness, you thought that's how it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that, I actually thought about the color purple. And for those of you, you know, that are meeting me for the first time or you've been coming, you know, for the past couple of weeks to listen, I love the movie The Color Purple. And a lot of my inspirational writing or my poetry, I pull out the different things that happen in that movie into my messages. God has given me a very unique gift to use Miss Silly, Shug Avery, and I forgot, Miss Sophia, to what their life experiences, what they went through. And Erica, as you were speaking and you said you thought that's how it was supposed to be, when Sophia asked Silly, why did she tell Harpo to be her? She said because she thought that's what husbands did. And so that's
mm-hmm.
actually what I thought about, because so many times Miss Silly was broken. Miss Silly was broken
mm-hmm.
down. She was brokenhearted. She was broken spirit. Like every level of brokenness, Miss Silly experienced that. But she took it like a champ, even though she was broken,
mm-hmm.
because she thought she wasn't, one, she didn't believe in herself. She didn't feel worthy, and that's all he ever exposed her to. And that's all her dad
mm-hmm.
exposed her to. She was broken by her father because he raped her. He stole her baby. And so all of that, she had no one to talk to. She had no
mm-hmm.
one to turn to. So she
right,
gave
right.
that same advice to her son, her stepson. And so he turned around and tried to use that same technique on his wife, Miss Sophia. And Miss Sophia beat him down because she was like, yo, I'm not Miss Silly. So somewhere
okay.
down the line, even though she was subjected, you know, her aunt, her uncles and her brothers, they was touching her, molesting her, but she stood up for herself. She knew it was wrong. She knew she wasn't going to stand for it. So there we have that negative and that positive, but I thank you so much for saying, for sharing your testimony. But when you said that, that was the highlight for me. So knowing, when you said you knew it was that way, when did you realize it's not supposed to be that way? And then when you did realize it, were you afraid to stand up for yourself, or did you boldly stand up for yourself?
That found out, believe it or not, it wasn't supposed to be that way through, it was from God. And I say that because when I got into business is when I started to meet more Christian women. So I had women, it's like God surrounded me. Everybody I met through business, they was a Christian. And see, at the time, I was not. And I didn't even have a relationship with God. But people just, kept, coming to me. And they were inviting me to different events and things of that nature. And I started, reading the Bible and going to Bible study and stuff like that. And God was like, no, you're more than this. You do not, You do not take up. You do not put yourself in a position. I did not put you here to be treated this way. I had a health and wellness coach that I was talking to, and she was asking me about my history and my challenges and, my environment that I came from, my family life and all that stuff, and she was helping me get well. And through that, God brought me people to build me up. And when I got to the point where I had built up, I turned around, and something my husband would say, and I would say, what? And I would get right back at him. At that point, God had built me up to the point where he said, you don't have to take that. Now, he may be your husband, but I didn't say be no doormat. And you know what I mean? So my husband would say something, and I would turn around and say, watch your tone. I would get right back at him. I was able to stand up for myself from the people who God put into my life to build my character, to build my strength. It was through them that I was able to do that, along with my mother and along with my best girlfriend. So I was surrounded by people, but it was mainly God who gave me the other people, who brought more people into my life to show me who I was, and that this is not the life that was created for me.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. It was a powerful, powerful testimony, and I'm quite sure a lot of people were blessed by what you shared. So thank you. And now we're going to go to the lines. Caller with the last four numbers, 6689. Thank you for patiently waiting. Welcome to the mic.
How are you? Thank you. I'm very well this evening. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've heard a lot. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I've heard a lot, and so many thoughts have been going through my little head. And I understood when Stacy was talking about, about some about the picture, Color Purple, and the different things that the other two ladies, I forget everybody's names, but I thought about the brokenness in my life didn't start when I became a teenager. It started way before that, and I believe it starts in a lot of people way before that. I didn't know that it was brokenness. I didn't understand that it was brokenness, but I began to run away from home or from the house when certain things would happen and certain things would come up that hurt me, but I would get away from it. But I wasn't. There was nobody there to help to address the problem. And if there were, they weren't making it plain to me. Oh, my goodness. Brokenness. I didn't ever feel as though I was taught to believe I really wasn't that good, because that's what I heard. I was brought up in a family that wasn't my biological family, but that's neither here nor there. But, like we marked the birds of a feather flock together, I didn't know what that meant. you know, all I knew is my biological mother didn't want me. And it didn't seem as though that the lady who was raising me as my mom wanted me either. But as I got older, obviously she had her own problems. But as children are going through brokenness without someone really being able to help them because of their own brokenness, like you're saying. Sometimes we don't realize we've been broken, that we're broken. And then, like, the other things that were said, like, okay, I thought this was supposed to be this way. Yet and still, there's something within us and something that we hear, like, this isn't really love. Is this love? It's not, but we don't know what to do about it. I didn't know what to do about it. Let me keep it right there. I didn't know what to do about it. And so the more I ran from one area of home and running out and away from home, I was more broken because of the people that I ran into. Some of my so-called friends at the time, I thought they were great, but they set me up to get raped. Okay, how do you deal with that? You know, so brokenness starts for me a long way back. You know, but I thank and I praise God for today. The things that I might have felt so much pain for, the power and the love and the anointing of Almighty God through Christ Jesus has opened that back up. And I didn't want to face nothing. Nobody wants to face the things that hurt us, the trauma, the getting hit upside the head, the getting beat, the getting told you're lying and you're not lying. You know, nobody wants to face those things. That's looking at that monster. You don't want that. I was worthless. I felt worthless. But God didn't say I was worthless. You know, he allowed me to go through those things. And then as I got older, still not having knowing how to address the pain and the heartache and the worthlessness that I felt, not knowing how, drugs became an avenue for me. Sex was an avenue for me. But it only continued to make more brokenness in my life. So we don't get, I don't know how to say all this, but it doesn't matter our age. What matters is that we come into the knowledge that we're broken and we have a willingness, hallelujah, to be healed. No matter how it hurts, he heals us. God heals us. He provides a means of healing for us. And then he brings us to a point where we begin to believe the word of God and saying, I love you. You know, you weren't meant for that. You're better than that. You know, you deserve more than this. And we begin to believe it. You know, and we begin to trust his word, saying, I'm going to heal you. You know, I am healing you. I'm opening. Sometimes I was a little tomboyish thing, and I walk on little bricks and stuff and fall and scrape my knees and all of that. I'm saying that to say that it formed a little scab. But underneath the scab, it was some uncleanness. And you had to move the scab out of the way to get the pus and the uncleanness out of the way. And this is what God does for us. He's doing that for me. He has done that for me. He ain't through with me yet. But I'm not where I once was. I'm not crying like I can't forgive myself anymore. You know, I'm not crying because I can't forgive the other persons in my life. Some are dead and gone, but that hurt didn't leave. That brokenness just did not go away. But the power and the love and the anointing of God is putting me together. Hallelujah, for his glory and for his honor. And the way I think has changed. He's changed the way I think. The word of God, and everybody, I've done a whole lot, but a lot of things, we don't always have someone to tell us about the word of God to the extent that we need the word of God in our brokenness to let us know that he sent us a comforter. and he comforts us. And sometimes we don't know how to receive that comfort because all we knew was the opposite of that, you know. No, I'm not built for you to beat me up. But then I thought, well, like, you know, okay, well, where can I go? How can I get away from this? This is all I'm going to get. You know, but the beloved God is showing me it's not that. It's not that. I love you. I heal you. I am with you. And through processes of time, I delivered you. I delivered you from an active addiction. I delivered you from thinking that, well, if I just do this or if I do that, they're going to love me. They're going to want me. No, they didn't love me. They didn't want me. They didn't know how to love themselves because they were in addiction like I was. You know, but I thank and I praise God because he brought me out of that. That's one door open and many other doors with it. You know, I'm not bound by that no more. Praise God. The hurting is not the same because he's healing me. You know, maybe he has to apply a little more peroxide today or a little more alcohol, a little more iodine or a little more mercurochrome, whatever they called it back in the day, you know. But it's spiritual. It's not natural, you know. Today I can look in the mirror, and I like what I see. I may need to lose some weight, but I like what I see, you know. It's not like it was, you know. I thank and I praise God for that, you know. Oh, my God. So much in covering up. I guess that's what it is. And imagine covering up, trying to cover up my brokenness, trying to cover it up. Oh, I can do this and I can do that. I'm going to be all right. I can ride my horses. I can ride on the back of the motorcycle. I can do this and I can do that. No. I can take another joint. No. I was broken, trying to cover up my brokenness. And it ain't in none of those things. So I thank and I praise God. Because he doesn't leave us alone at any time. But in our more, I'm going to say this way, our more mature ages, he still don't leave us alone. And so often in our older, more mature age time, we feel like, well, I didn't live this long with this. I may as well hold on to it. It's not going to ever change. But that's a lie from the enemy. He don't want you to believe. He wants me to believe it's going to change. But it has changed, and it's still changing, and it's changing all for the better, all because of the love of God through Christ Jesus. And the brokenness heals. He heals. I can't explain it. All I know is that he does it. I can't explain it. I mean, when he opens you up, I can't explain it. He doesn't allow us to pass out and give up because he opened us up. But he opened us up and he cleans us out, and it's okay. It's okay today. The wound has cleaned it out. Now he can heal properly. Hallelujah. It's a healing in love. It's healing in encouragement. It's healing. It's healing. Today you can like yourself. Today you can love yourself. You can look in the mirror, like I said today. It's okay today. And on those days Amen. When it feels kind of funny, it's okay. Because I don't have to be the way I once was. You know, I don't have to feel the things that I felt. I don't have to feel the abandonment, the loneliness, the, oh, my God, so much. So much.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. That was a wonderful, wonderful testimony and example of brokenness and the various stages that you went through. And Apostle Sheila is going to follow up, but I wanted to say thank you for highlighting the different behaviors because a lot of times in our brokenness, we turn to people, places, things. And a lot of times people turn to drugs, they turn to sex, they turn to food, they turn to gambling. And a lot of times we look at the traditional addictions. But what about those non-traditional addictions? Because they cause more brokenness. They cause more weariness. And it's like you think you're getting better, but you're not. But Apostle Sheila, we want to turn the mic over to you.
Well, I thank the caller for her transparency and sharing her experience. It was powerful. And she said a couple of things that stood out for me. For instance, when she became aware of her hurt and her brokenness, how it began to speak to her through negative self-talk. And that was part of our conversation last week. We were talking about self-talk and how self-talk can affect you either negatively or positively. And the caller identified the fact that her brokenness began to talk to her and speak to her and tell her what she couldn't do and what things were impossible for her and what she wasn't going to accomplish. And that's common, because once we're broken, it's like a slippery slope. It's a downward spiral. And the enemy takes hold and begins to talk to us. He has three jobs: steal, kill, and destroy. But the Word of God tells us in John 10:10 that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And another thing that the caller identified was the overcompensation. A lot of times people who are broken seek extremism in their life. They got to go faster, higher, bigger, brighter, broader. And she said, talk about riding motorcycles really fast and, you know, getting on horses and that kind of thing. Nothing is going to heal that brokenness other than the power of the living God. And when she was talking, I was thinking about Tremaine Hawkins. We had talked about this in our pre-show. Tremaine Hawkins sings a song called Change. A change has come over me because Jesus washed away my sins. And until we humble ourselves and put our brokenness at the feet of Jesus, we can't find that peace that we're seeking through drugs and through sex and through any of the other things we try to use to self-medicate,
mm-hmm.
or put a bandage on or try to cover up our wounds with. It's only the love of God that's going to heal us and deliver us
Amen.
From that hurt.
Well, thank you, Sheila. One of the things that's standing out to me is also the caller, and I still have your mic open. You
okay.
mentioned love quite a few times. And love is important, because when you're broken, if you never felt love, if you never experienced love, and then you get hurt and you get broken and you get wounded, you don't know what love feels like. And God is there. God wants to love you, but your heart blocks him out. And I know I love God so much, but there were times when people that misrepresented God hurt me, and I got mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, God, you know, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your word. I'm thinking I'm safe, but I'm broken. And I don't want to take it out on you, so help me through this process. Because
mm-hmm.
brokenness was still your love, but it's also what Apostle Sheila was saying, which is my favorite scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if he could steal our voice, he could steal our power, guess what? Now, the word says nothing can separate us from the love of God, you know, but sometimes our hearts turn black. And when our hearts turn black, we have to do healthy confrontation. There's no way we're going to get healed without confrontation. Now, Erica mentioned confrontation, and then the caller came with the confrontation. She mentioned the peroxide, the alcohol, the mercuricone, and you know what? That stuff is needed. But sometimes, now last week, Apostle Sheila asked the question, you know, how do we handle it? How do we heal from a natural perspective? So sometimes that alcohol can be a song that we hear on the radio. And, I mean, it don't have to be a raunchy song or whatever. It could be a nice, serious song that help you out of your situation. It could be a kind word from somebody on the bus or somebody at your job. Like, there are non-traditional ways that's not scripture, but it still promotes healing. And it can have that same effect as the mercuricone, as the peroxide or the alcohol. But the thing is, no matter what antiseptic you use, whatever painkiller you use, you have to acknowledge that you was wounded first, because things that are covered up can heal.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, when I used to get a little bruise on my knee, riding, falling and everything, my mama say, no, I'm not going to put a Band-Aid on it. It need to breathe. It need to get some air. Well, I feel led to say that somebody listening tonight, you done covered up the wounds on your heart. You done covered up the wounds on your soul and your spirit, even your mind. And God is saying, you don't need no Band-Aid on it. It needs to breathe. So take a deep breath and just let it out. Do it three times. But whatever it is, no matter how bad it hurts, give it to God, because he really wants to heal you. And that's why we're dealing with this topic of brokenness tonight. And we pray that something said is really helping you, encouraging you. If you are listening and you have a question, a comment, a prayer request, testimony to share, please press 1, and we will grace you on the mic. And Erica, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The caller was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. And was so good. I was sitting down here taking notes, and by the time I finished writing stuff down, she had already followed up my follow-up. I said, how'd she take my follow-up? Rushing in my brain and going nowhere. I'm writing down on this paper and what I want to say. So I said, how about that? So, but I do want to follow up with, I think the caller in, Sheila mentioned self-medicating. And I believe, Stacey, I think you mentioned it too, self-medicating. And that's one thing I was going to touch on. And it's interesting. I've run into a lot of people who are doing just that. They're self-medicating. And all I hear is excuses as to why. When you try to offer up a much more better solution than, you know, the alcohol or the weed or the gambling, or it also can be constant shopping, because I don't know if you know about the TV show that's on Netflix called Hoarding. That's self-medicating too.
Uh-huh.
And I watch that show. That's self-medicating, because that's why they bring on a psychologist or counselor on that show, because it's always tied to something emotional. So that's but what I wanted to tell people is that self-medicating, that's temporal. That's temporal. Regardless of what you do, you take that glass of alcohol, that's temporary. That means that feeling, that good feeling that you get, once that alcohol goes away about an hour later, you're going to need another glass. It's temporal. And that's how people become alcoholics, because they don't stop. They don't work through the process. They don't work through their pain and their hurt. So they cover it up with the alcohol and the shopping and the gambling and all that stuff, which digs them into a deeper hole. So if you gamble too much, you start gambling away your paychecks every week. That means you can't pay your bills. You start drinking alcohol, you become an alcoholic. Now you can't function. You smoke too much weed, you high all the time, you're in a cloud. So how can you function that way? You know, it's all temporal. It's all temporal. It only lasts for a moment. You have to keep doing the same thing over and over again to have that constant relief, which is never good because you cannot function out here and you cannot be in your right state of mind, whole, healthy, emotionally and mentally, if you're constantly putting something into your system that's only doing damage to it. So it just makes your life worse. You know, at the time, people are just trying to run away from their pain. They ain't trying to hear that. They're not trying to hear what you have to say. They don't want no long-term fix. They want a quick fix, you know, which is temporal, and it's a shame. It's a shame. And another point was I heard the natural healing where I think, Stacey, you said like a kind word from someone, some music, maybe a nice song or whatever. And that's true. That's a natural, but it's still God. So even mm-hmm. though you might not yeah. reach out to God and say, God, please help me, or somebody might be mad at God, like someone said, you know, I ain't trying to listen to God right now. I ain't trying to mention his name because he left me in the state. This is his fault. And people blame God for their lives and stuff like that. But it's still him. So when you get that kind lady that's sitting next to you on the bus, that she knows nothing about your life, and she turns around to you and speaks life into you as if she knew everything that was going on, because it's happened to me, and you got your mouth wide open, and you're like, well, how she know that? I mean, you don't say it to her, but you're like, how she know that? That's God, because God knew what you needed in that moment. He knew you needed a kind word, so he sent it to you. Or somebody, or you're like that music, you could just be somewhere out on the street, somebody just all of a sudden put on a song that makes you feel good, that's inspirational, that's God. He knew you needed to hear that song, so he put you in the right place at the right time when that car was driving past so you could hear it. That's him. It's all him. Even what we call natural is all God. He places people, places, and he puts you in places. He brings you people to give you what you need. He's still there, whether you're mad with him or not, whether you want to go through this process right now or not. He's taking you through the process. You just don't realize it. He's just dropping little things, little pebbles in front of you, and he ain't saying this is me. You don't know it's him, but he's just placing them there. So all he's doing is dropping you little crumbs, and each crumb you pick up, you have no idea that he's leading you somewhere. And the next thing you know, you on the other side without even asking, without even saying a word, without even having a relationship with you. He has brought you from your pain to the beginning stages of your healing, and you don't even realize it. And then you turn around and say, well, last year I was over here and I was depressed, and now look how well I'm doing. You know what I mean? And it happens that way. And then you turn around and you tell your testimony, and you're like, now I can't believe I have this story. Yeah, because that's how God is. He in self-like mode a lot of times because he know his children don't want to listen all the time. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting that you guys put those points up. You know, it's how relative they are to brokenness. It's just a process. Everything is a process. When you go from one state, you go to the next, and you go to the next, and you go to the next until you get better. And God, he never gives up on you. Your father never gives up on you. Even if you have had enough of him and you mad, and he's sitting there saying, I know you're going to get over it. He's sitting there saying, you're going to get over it. Okay, we're going to walk through this. You're going to get through this. But the thing about it is you have to be willing to. Because he can't make you be better. You have to you have to willingly do it on your own.
Yes, I totally agree. Now, earlier when Apostle Sheila was talking about grieving, how that's a form of brokenness as well, there's five stages to grieving. And so we deal with denial, we deal with the anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
Yep.
And I don't care what you go through. And I mean, we grieve. People grieve over different things. People lost their houses during the pandemic. They still grieving today. You know why? Because they homeless. They have nowhere to live. People lost right. their jobs. People lose their feet to diabetes. Some people's legs get amputated. They still grieving. Uh-huh. They still broken. Uh-huh. They still hurting. Yep. Who's reaching out to them? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Erica. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, Apostle Sheila. So what are you doing to help other people? So, and we're going to come back to that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's true.
Yes, okay, yes. Amen. So we do have a caller with the last four numbers, 0300. I'm opening up your mic now. Welcome to the show.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Hello.
Praise the Lord. I want to say happy belated birthday to Apostle Sheila. This is Lashonda. We both have the same birthday.
Oh, thank you. Happy birthday, sister.
Yes, and I just want to thank God for you coming in my life for years ago. You have blessed me a great deal, and you have spoken to my life and stuff has came to pass. But when I want to talk about brokenness, I want to say sometimes being anointed comes with brokenness also. Come on, somebody, where you have to deal with people, and people will put will judge you when you are anointed. And I have dealt with that for many years. Also, brokenness for me, I have been the black sheep of the family, you know, where, you know, my mother loved me, but she would ignore me, and the other kids, she would lift them up on high. But I also know that by being brokenness and being a black sheep of the family, God has blessed me, and he's enlarged my territory. And I'm 43 now, but as I was coming up, I always got favor in houses that I that my credit was jacked up, and for some reason God just blessed me, you know, and I just got a big promotion on the job where I got my own office with my name on my office. So I have been broken to the point that, you know, I said, God, I'm so tired of being broken. And sometimes you even be broken in the churches. Come on, somebody. But God had begun to deal with me, and he said, I'm teaching you, you know, that other people's insecurities of your anointing, you have nothing to do with that. If you're anointed, you stand firm. But I'm still brokenhearted because sometimes you can do so much, even for people or church people, come on, somebody, and they still will look at you like, you know, like they overlook you or always complaining or, you know, and to the point my walk with God, God said, I'm building you up. Don't worry about who's frowning at you, who's looking you up and down. You stand firm. And I had to deal with that since I was a child, from my sisters and brothers, my mother, to now. People look who she thinks she is, who that. But God said, I'm preparing you to when you see that you stand firm and you don't care about that. Because I said, God, why you keep showing me this? And as a woman of God, I'm always trying to think that people have to have a heart like me. People have to think like me. People have to be given like me and care. But God said, no, that's not so. You don't change your heart because they're acting up. Come on, somebody. I can share this with y'all, and this goes on and on, so y'all can get what I'm saying. Now, my sister, you know, my baby sister, she's 2 years younger than me. She's my friend on Facebook. You know, and I'm sensitive. I might be a warrior in the spirit and look strong, but I have a heart, and I'm sensitive too. Now, one of her best friends passed, and her birthday is in this month of mine. Now, my birthday was Tuesday. Come on, Apostle Sheila, we got April the 18th is our birthday. Now, she never said happy birthday, but you put somebody else up, come on, somebody that's not your sister, and say happy birthday. I said, God, what is this with all this confusion? That is my birthday, and you can't even put me up? So I am broken in a lot of areas of my life. Come on, somebody. I am broken. I'm the type that I sit back and I watch. Sometimes being quiet, God show you every and any little thing. And I have been broken in years of seeing how I could be nice to others, but they won't be nice to me. But God was telling me this is a time, such a time as this, that that brokenness is making you more powerful. And I see it. I'm more powerful. And when I speak on Facebook, Sister Yolanda has been my spiritual sister over 22 years, and I thank God for you, sis. But, you know, this is the time when God's saying, you see that, but I'm going to build you up, you know, to encourage somebody. You know, you get daggers and you get people that mad at you for no reason, and you never did nothing to them. But this is the time, this season, where I told God, my brokenness, God, please protect my heart. Keep me prayed up. Protect me. Now, today, I almost got hit by a truck going across the street. Now, I'm about to get ordained April the 30th to be an evangelist. And I said, God, the closer I get to about to be ordained, the more the enemy is attacking me. But I just want to tell somebody, sometimes when you're broken, that's more anointed of the basket, the box that God is pouring over your life, you know. Sometimes brokenness is not, you know, not for our downfall, but sometimes being broken is the more anointed. And I just want to give y'all guys encouragement and just let y'all know, you know, brokenness is not always to be a setup or a downfall. Sometimes brokenness is more to be more anointed, to help the people and set the captives free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
LaShonda, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you enduring your process, because your brokenness is a part of your process. The scripture mm-hmm. tells us in Psalm 34:18 that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves mm-hmm. those of a crushed spirit. And so even during your process, even when you felt like you were the most alone, God was mm-hmm. there. He said, mm-hmm. Like we stated earlier, he'll never leave you or forsake you. And mm-hmm. this all was just to build you, to make you, to mold you, and to get the meat. Sometimes the caller had talked about earlier, sometimes you got to rip this, take the scab off the wound to release the infection, the pus and everything, you know, has to come out. It's got to come out of the wound, because if it stays in the wound, the infection will spread throughout other parts of your body and become deadly.
Mm-hmm.
But God opened you up and allowed the impurities that were inside of you to come out, so that he could prepare you and make you ready and make you like Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon. Oh, my God, I feel the power of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He is anointing you to preach the gospel.
Jesus.
So be encouraged. Even when you feel wounded by those you love the most, just know that God loves you more.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?
LaShonda Langston.
Okay, LaShonda, it's nice to meet you. And I just feel led to tell you, don't worry about the people faces. Because sometimes when you speak and you look at the people, sometimes they're going to, you know, look like they growling at you. Look at her. And sometimes, mm-hmm. have you ever gone to the store and you ready to check out mm-hmm. in the cash register, she just real nasty to you, or he just real nasty to you for no reason? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Did
yes,
you ever think about, did you ever stop and say, well, what did I do to deserve that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was your reaction to that? I mean, if you asked yourself that, like, talk me through what you did and how it made you feel.
I just feel uncomfortable, and I'd be like, what? You know, and I just brush it off, like, you know. But I don't know what it is. God got me in a season to speak up, when I see people doing certain stuff. You know, my Yolanda knows me. She's on the line. My heart is very pure. And I would give the shirt off my back to anybody. And I'm like, God, why do people treat me like this? And it's like, you know, I'm very brokenhearted. I'm very brokenhearted. How people treat me. Like, when I give out, I don't get back. I'm very brokenhearted. I'm like, God, why do people treat me like I'm very goodhearted. I give money. I give support. And I'm brokenhearted in that area. But I know I heard God say, I'm building you up for a time as this where, you know, you don't have to stop thinking people are like you. People are not like you. Don't never change your heart towards people. If you're nice, stay nice. You know, and that's the area of my life that is, I'm so, you would never know that I'm brokenhearted if you was to see me. I look like I'm strong built, but I got a lot of issues with just family and people and stuff that I see. Like, I don't like, it's not good and it's not healthy. So what I'll do, I take my energy back and I leave people, you know, alone. You know, it's so many stuff, so many stories I could tell you guys. Yolanda knows. Like I said, she's been my spiritual sister over 20 years. She knows. And she's like, now that's not right. They did that and they did this, you know. And it's not that I want to point the finger. Sometimes I'll be in denial and overlook it. But I am very broken by a lot of stuff that people do to me, you know. And it's just, I'm like, God, build me up. And God, let me know I'm going to build you up. To where it is that you don't have to worry about, because, you know, you're nice. People got to be nice. If people ain't right. You know, you have to pray for them. But it's like, Dad, every now and then, I'm not always strong. I'm weak, too. You know, call me up. You know, give me a couple of dollars. Now, I done gave you $500 to pay your rent. You can't even give it to me. You know, I'm just so nice like that. And it's just like a season where God is telling me, speak up sometimes. Speak up, you know. And it's just that I'm about to get ordained, and I'm like, God, you know, I just build my strength because it's too much. It's too much. And Apostle Sheila, I just want to thank you for the women's revival we went to. I had a deep cleansing, it just felt so good. I was drunk in the spirit when I left that revival. All day, it's like I was drunk in the spirit, and God's presence did not leave off of me to the next day. So I will be coming to the revival the next month that y'all have it. I want to keep coming because that was very powerful, and it was blessed. And I'm going to keep coming. And Yolanda tried to get me to come to the one this month, but I work, you know, and I'm in corporate office, so I will be coming. That was it. I needed that. God was in that place. And I'm telling you, man, I had a spiritual awakening when we did that together. So I thank God for you. And I just thank God that God sends, you know, people in my life to, you know, to lift me up and to shape and mold me to step in my calling. I remember Apostle Sheila told me, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she came over. She said, no, you got to take off this coat. God won it all. And I was like, oh, Lord. You know, and that's what we need today. We don't need distractions where people don't give us a word and they overlook us. Yeah, I know where to go on the backside. I go to a church, but, you know, and it's blessed. But you sometimes God will send other people to tell you what you're wrong in and what you need to step up to. And, Apostle Sheila, I love you. Like, when I went to that, I told your mom, I said, I'm going to that every month. I'm going to that every month. And I just got promoted, so I couldn't come the two times, but I'm going to come for May. And I just want to thank you for you guys building me up. You know, and just shaping and molding me in the spirit.
We're very, very happy for you, but I have to jump in here for time's sake. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Erica want to respond to you, and then I'm going to respond to you, and if Apostle Sheila has something else. But I love the love that you have for Apostle Sheila, and before I turn the mic over to Erica, it's real crucial that you do stay connected to her, because there's an impartation that's going to take place There's a shedding mm-hmm. that's going to take place. There is a Jesus. Level of maturity that God is calling you to. There are some underlying mm-hmm. issues that need to be dealt with. And mm-hmm. through the power of the Holy Ghost, Apostle Sheila is going to help you advance forward and beyond. But you have to take your eyes off of people, and you have to okay. deal with the spirit of rejection, because that's one of your root issues. And when people mm-hmm. treat you a certain way, it triggers you in that rejection area. But the rejection is also hiding inside of you. And okay. while you were talking, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was praying in the spirit quietly. But I wanted to release that tongue because it was just bubbling up on the inside. You were in, I'm sorry, Erica, I got to flow, but I'm going to turn it right over to you. You was in the vein when you opened up, because the topic that came out of your mouth is something that is on God's heart, and it's something that is on God's mind. Because being broken in the body of Christ, in the church, outside the church, is the most painful brokenness ever. But the mm-hmm. magnitude of that brokenness in the negative is double the magnitude in the positive. Because that brokenness, if you think about olives, you cannot get olive oil without those olives being pressed. So mm-hmm. you have been pressed. You have been isolated. You have been abandoned. You have been mistreated. You have been overlooked. You have been understood. And you have taken this stuff and you have balled it up inside. And you said, I'm going to nurse it and I'm going to wear it like a badge of honor. I'm not going to let nobody touch it. I'm not going to trust God enough to give it to him because it smells too bad. But listen to me tonight. God said that no weapons formed against you shall prosper. And he wants to take your pain away tonight. And it's not going to take real long.
You just need to come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy, because every person that the devil used to reject you, every person that the devil used to isolate you, and listen, you're dealing with a deep spirit of humiliation, a deep wound. You have been so humiliated and embarrassed, and it hurts you. And God, I'm sorry, my thing came out the phone. You've been deeply humiliated. And you've been mocked and you've been laughed at. And that bothered you. And it caused you to shut up in some areas. It caused you to not walk in the fullness of what God has called you to do. And God wants to break that off of you. So can I pray for you?
Yes.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you right now for your grace and for your mercy. We repent of all of our sins. We repent for the things that we said wrong, did wrong, thought wrong. We repent for our reactions, not understanding that we was responding to our feelings and our emotions and not to the word of God. Father, you said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and that you have anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. And my sister has been afflicted, but somebody else listening to this broadcast, they have been afflicted too. But God, by the power and the authority that you have given unto me, and for those that are touching and agreeing with us for our sister, I untie her in the second heavens from the spirit of rejection and isolation. I untie her from the fruit of rejection. Every cohort that works closely with the spirit of rejection, low self-esteem and fear,
and her confidence, God, that has not been consistently in you. Her confidence is in you in that moment when she's up on that mountaintop, but when she comes down in that valley, God, the enemy loves to play with her feelings and her emotions. But I thank you that today, as we disconnect her in the second heavens, as we untie her in the second heaven from all powers and principalities, all demonic manipulations, every mind-binding spirit, every serpentine spirit, and we cut off the spirit of Python in the name of Jesus. You must loose her and loose her now in the name of Jesus. We release the power of the blood of Jesus to flush out every lie of the enemy, every lie that she came in agreement with, every lie that stole her voice, every lie that stole her power, every lie that stole her authority, we command you to break by the blood and fire of God. Loose her right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we stand on your word. We decree that she is a woman that has been loosed. We bind every familiar spirit, every tracking spirit, every monitoring spirit. And I thank you for blinding them spiritually so that they will not see her, they will not track her, and they will not monitor her. Now, God, I untied her in the second heaven because every assignment that's been coming up against her, it started in the second heaven. And so we thank you that in the third heaven, I want you to show her herself seated by the right hand of Jesus, who is seated by your right hand, high above powers and principalities. Now that she has been loosed, we cover her with the whole armor of God. And we thank you for the helmet of salvation. And God, as I place my hand on my head, I bind every mind-binding spirit, every octopus spirit, and I break and cut your tentacles, rakashata, rikanda, rabashata, rakashata. You will not manipulate her. You will not deceive her. I bind the spirit of self-deception and strong deception in the mighty name of Jesus. You have been exposed tonight. Now, God, I decree that she has the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in her, which is also in Christ Jesus. I bind that wandering mind, and I thank you that when she's trying to study and to read your word, she's been getting distracted, God. And I bind that double-minded spirit. Oh, Rabbi Shanda, Rabbi Shi, break your power. Loose her now. The blood of Jesus is against you. And I loose the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn away the dross. Oh, Rabbi Shanda, burn away everything. God, that's not like you in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you said in your word that if she keep her mind stayed on you, that you would keep her in perfect peace. So we decree your word, Isaiah 26 and verse 3. We decree your word, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. She's going to trust you with her whole heart and lean not into her own understanding. And tonight, God, deliver her from people. Oh, Rabbi Shanda, Rabbi Shidi Kanda. Every person that has been controlling and manipulating her, that's why I bind that spirit of Python and demonic manipulation. I cut every diabolical cord. I cut every soul tie from family members, from co-workers, from people in the church, even relationships, God. I disconnect her. And I thank you that you are severing every cord. every evil altar where they've been calling out her name. Every evil altar on her mother's side. Every evil altar on her father's side. We take her name off of that altar. We take her picture off of that altar. Everything they did with her picture, God, we send it back to the sender. 100-fold return. In the mighty name of Jesus, we break every bloodline curse. We break every generational curse. And we lose the generational blessings. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we celebrate you for this breakthrough. We thank you right now, God, for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring her out a blessing that is going to be so deep, so wide. She will not have room enough to receive it. You have called her to be a blessing with kingdom building. And I thank you for overflow, God. I thank you for restoring everything that has been stolen from her in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, loose a holy, bold spirit upon her right now, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We place a seal on these prayers with the blood of Jesus, thanking you that the blood of Jesus is speaking for her. The blood of Jesus is fighting for her. The blood of Jesus is working for her, and she will never be the same. It is in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray.
Yes.
Let everybody say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we just praise God? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Open your mouth up and praise God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Everybody, open your mouth. Even if you're not on the mic, open up your mouth because God is going to do something special in your situation. God wants to move by his spirit, but he needs you to open up your mouth and praise him. He needs you to take care of his word. He said when we praise him, he will send ambushments against the enemy. God is destroying the spirit of brokenness tonight. God is destroying the spirit of heaviness tonight. God is removing the spirit of depression tonight. God is breaking in pieces the oppressor. God is going to show your enemies who he is. There are some people on his line tonight, and people have been mocking you, and they said, but God is about to laugh at your enemies. God is about to show your enemies that he is Jehovah Gabor. He is the God of battles. And he said, be still and know that I am God. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you. So hold your peace. God is bringing you out of that quiet place. God is bringing you out of that dry place. He's making spiritual rivers in the desert, spiritual abundance, spiritual supplies. God is going to shock you. He is going to blow your mind. But the last thing you need to do, even though you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, and somebody is passing through the valley of Baca tonight. You better walk through that valley of Baca with your head lifted high, because the fire of the Holy Ghost is falling fresh upon you. You are empowered tonight. You are equipped tonight. You are endowed tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost to do the work that God has called you to do. Do not worry and do not fret. For God said, thou shalt because of evil doing, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green earth. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be saved. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Apostle Sheila, please take over. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for showing up and showing out. Thank you, Father, for manifesting yourself on behalf of our sister, Evangelist LaShonda. I just appreciate God so much for the prayers of the righteous do avail much. Amen.
Yes, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Erica, you have something you wanted to share?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. What I wanted to share with Ms. LaShonda is that you're not alone. I actually am working my way through the same thing that you're going through right now. I get treated nastily. I get people, even at work, I get people who will walk past and speak to everybody else and look at me and say, nothing. I have had executive business administrators who will, I can say good morning, they will look me directly in the face and say nothing.
Yes.
I will walk into a room full of my own sisters and happy to see sisters that I don't even know, just happy to be there in the room with my sisters, and they look at me like they could slice my throat. If they thought they could get away with it, they would slice my throat.
Come on,
so
Jesus.
I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. And every day I come home and say, what is it? What is going on? I'm not understanding as to why folks is treating me like this. I have done nothing. And God says, well, when you start to reach your level, when you start to get to that level where I need you to be, you start to rise, this is what happens. So all it is the enemy is trying to attack your spirit. He does not want you to get to the place God has for you.
Yes.
He wants to keep you back. He wants to hold you back, thinking that something is wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you at all. Nothing wrong with you at all. Keep going. Keep going. Keep talking to God. He will provide all the strength you need to get through this process. And once you reach that other side, you will look back and you will laugh and you say, you know what? That was a piece of cake. I'm ready for the next step. So, I'm here to tell you that it's not an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. Because we are human beings with feelings. We got feelings. When somebody don't speak to us, that's disrespect. You're like, what did I do to you? You know what I mean? You can't speak. You want to be nasty. You know, you want to take and never give. You want to use me. I done been through all of that stuff. All of that. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy cakewalk. And in the process, you still got to forgive these people. You still got to show them love and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. I ain't built for all that, God. I ain't ready for all that. You know, forgive. I mean, but I just want you to know you have a sister here that understands the process you're going through. And trust me when I tell you, you'll be a stronger and a better person when you hit the other side of it. And the thing about it doesn't go away. You just reach another level.
There's
another process you will have to go through. But you have folks to lean on. You got people to talk to. And you have Apostle Sheila who will always be pulling for you. So you have a network of people. Everybody on this call has your back, and we'll be praying for you.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Lord. Yes.
The word tells us in Psalm 51:17 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken, contrite heart. Oh, God, you will not despise. So God is not alienating us or pushing us away or abandoning us like people do in our time of sorrow, in our time of despair, afflicting us and wounding us. You know, like Erica was saying, people can walk by you and as if you're invisible, as if you don't even exist.
And all you want to do is, you know, go through your workday, be kind, be amicable to people, and finish your workday and go home. But, you know, it's their issue and not your issue. And sometimes, because I know, LaShonda, because you have a tender heart, you take it on and take it personally. But God has done a great work in your life tonight through the prayer of the woman of God. So continue to hold on to that. Continue to ask the Holy Spirit to bring back to your remembrance the things she prayed, the things she spoke over to and into your life on tonight, because God did something great in your life. And it's in preparation for what he's going to do on the 30th when you take your charge as an evangelist of God in God's house.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I'm so proud of you, and so thankful for your process. And that's another thing, Erica and I and Stacy keep identifying. Brokenness is part of a process.
Yes.
It's like the chain on that goes around the wheel on the bicycle. It's part of a process, and it's the links are connected, but there's a beginning, but there's also an ending.
Yes,
there's an
God.
Ending. And like Erica said, there are levels to a process.
Yes.
There are levels to be. God is building you up. He's preparing you to be used for his glory.
But you know what, Apostle? I just want to thank you because, you know, I'm 43 now, and I think I was in my early 29 or 30s, and you prophesied over me, and I was so hard-headed, you know? And I when I went to the women's revival, you got me good, you know? And I just want to thank God for you because you have spoken some stuff over my life, and you know they said, you know, you don't be prophesying, you're prophesying, but when you prophesy, you always it come to pass. And I just want to thank you for protecting me and protecting my kids and just looking over me, and you know, and we share the same birthdays and we click, and I just like your spirit because you don't put up with no foolishness. You're not going to sugarcoat nothing. I mean, one time when I was with my son's father, you said, you're not going to be with him. He Muslim. And I got mad. I was in my 20s. Then I got a little upset. I said, But it came to pass. You knew what you were talking about. And I just thank God for the woman of my life, Yolanda. You know, she's in my life for over 20 years. And then she introduced me to you. And me and you had we had talk and we had, you know, come together. And then when I seen you, and you look so beautiful, Apostle, I was like, my God, Apostle, look, like she 10 years younger from when I seen her the last time. Come on, somebody. And God would do that. And it's just, I'm just so grateful of the walks of God. You know, for some reason, God always send people in my life. Since I was young, a lady at my job, she goes to church. She got gray hair. She's beautiful. God used her. We have lunch together every day. So I said, God will send somebody on the backside. Come on, somebody, to prune you and shape you and get yourself together. But I really do, Apostle. I appreciate you, and I love you so much for putting me together and putting me in check. Nobody, you have to have the ear to hear. Some people get in their flesh and say, so you're talking to me, and I ain't doing that now. I probably would have did that in my 20s because I was disobedient, you know, but I'm 43 now. So now I have the ear of hearing what needs to be done and what I need to change in.
And I love you.
Yes.
I really love you for coming in my life and helping me. I really do.
Well, God causes us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. And he enlightens our eyes that we may know the hope
yes.
of our calling in him. And as
mm-hmm.
we wrap up tonight, you know, we've had some awesome conversation on tonight. And I'm just so grateful
mm-hmm.
to Stacey. And I know Erica is likewise, and I'll give her an opportunity to speak that. But I'm so grateful to Stacey for opening up this platform and allowing us to speak on brokenness on tonight and share and be
yes.
transparent, because it has been a blessing. And Erica, I'm going to give you the opportunity to share, and then we'll allow Stacey to close the platform.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very, 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 very much. Stacey, I want to say that prayer that you did for Miss LaShonda, you were talking to me too, because we are going through the same exact thing. And I just the other day, I had about enough. Somebody walked past me. I didn't say anything to him, but I was like, you know, I came home and I said, God, what is it? What is it? You got to tell me. It's something going on that I don't know about, as to why people are just, I mean, being ignoring me and just rolling eyes and people I don't even know. And I'm like, okay, this is just, and I was great right in. I was great right into a life counselor or something and say, just tell me what you think this is. He said, stop for a moment. He said, don't push the button yet. Don't send no emails. And then I get on here and find out that one of my sisters is going through the same thing, and then get that prayer from Stacey. So, Stacey, thank you very much. When I tell you that that was a true blessing to me as well, to hear those words, because I have been rejected a lot in my life, and it started with my father early on. And it just fed, you know, it just built up over the years. And now I'm just getting to the point where I'm releasing this stuff. And that prayer was definitely for me as well. And I appreciate it and receive it. So thank you very much. And thank you also for the platform. And I agree with Apostle Sheila, so we can share and we can help one another heal and grow and pass it along to other people. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Apostle Sheila. And I thank God for what he did tonight. The prayer, LaShonda was the point of contact, but the prayer was for everybody that received it. It wasn't just solely for her, because I really felt that
yeah.
in my spirit, that it was for other people. Now, what needs to take place now is accountability, responsibility, and maintenance care. Whenever you get this kind of breakthrough, you must maintain your breakthrough. And so everything that you've been disconnected from, stay alert, because your past is up for review. And what do I mean by that? The devil is going to use people to come up and try you, to test you, to frustrate you, and to irritate you. And the whole goal is to unleash the spirit of exasperation against you, so that you will get off your square, and that whatever took place tonight, you'll begin to doubt that it really took place. And I'm telling you what I know. The devil is going to come, and he's going to come hard, Erica, because of who you are. But because of, I see you like a rosebud, a tight, tightly closed rosebud, but you're opening up and you're blossoming, and you're helping people through your process, and the enemy doesn't want you to do that, but there's nothing that he can do to stop you. You are where you are on this platform, and everything that you said earlier today, it is no different than the prayer that I prayed today. You know why? Because it wasn't you and it wasn't me and it wasn't Apostle Sheila. Everybody, don't worry about the countdown. We're going into overtime and that's fine. But everybody under the sound of my voice, God, the Holy Spirit operates through us. The gifts that we have inside of us, it came from God. The Holy Spirit uses us individually and collectively. Erica, Sheila, and myself, we work together on one accord tonight with this broadcast, with this show, even while we were praying. There were things being done while the prayer was going forth that some of you are even clueless about. And I don't say that in a negative way, but when you know who you are in Christ and you know how God is using you, you know that he's busting up the atmosphere. So in the closing remarks, I want to say to somebody, and it's more than one person, it's more than two people, some of the brokenness that you have gone through, you have prayed, you have fasted, you have done everything that you could do. But when I was praying and I began to break these altars and their power, there are demonic and satanic powers and principalities that have been fighting you through demonic manipulation. And you couldn't go forward even if you wanted to because you didn't know you was dealing with that level of divination and witchcraft that was coming against you. So now that it has been broken, I don't know who you are, but somebody, you into the horoscopes, you read the horoscopes, you believe what the horoscopes say. When you do that, you open the door to the third heaven. You open the door for the enemy to come in. So whatever doors that you know you opened, and if anybody dabbles with witchcraft, with a Ouija board, with going to psychics, going to necromancers, please repent. You don't have to say anything on this broadcast, but I exhort you to repent and ask God to forgive you. If you've gone to a spiritualist, if you've gone to a psychic, if you're going to someone to talk to them, they tell you about your dead loved ones and stuff, all of that is open doors that contribute to the brokenness through familiar spirits and divination. So please be obedient. It is not me. This is the Holy Ghost warning you, because if you continue, especially after what took place tonight, there are some people you're going to have to separate yourself from. Some of you are literally sleeping with witches and warlocks, and God is going to expose this to you, and you're going to get up out of that bed that you have no business being in anyway, but you're going to stop, and you're never going to go back again. The devil is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, we're going to have to do a separate show just with rejection, because there are different levels of rejection. And one of the main things I want to point out is self-protectiveness. Because when we get hurt, when we get wounded, we put that guard up. And we put the guard up because we say, ain't nobody going to ever hurt me like that before. Nobody's going to ever break my heart like that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Self-protectiveness is the number one tool that the enemy used to place you in prison. Because you don't trust nobody no more. You get suspicious. Everybody that come around you, they have an ulterior motive, and you miss out on God-ordained opportunities because of the paranoia. Is this making sense to anybody? I hope
yes,
so.
Yes, it is. It's true. Very true.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, if anyone wants to reach out and you want to talk to me directly, you want to speak to Apostle Sheila directly, or you want to speak to Erica directly, we can make that happen. We're not here for form or fashion. It's just a talk show, but it's not just a talk show. This is God's radio network. And he is doing an awesome, awesome work here. And I'm going to ask you all to please pray for Erica. Pray for Apostle Sheila. And please pray for me. Because we take the time to get together and discuss these topics before we come to the line. But we need to even go deeper and enter into prayer because of how God is moving. And there's a bunch of fallow grounds that have been broken tonight. Excuse me. And so as you are freed up, as you are healed, as you are delivered, so shall your family members be. Those that are close to you are going to receive the overflow from you and what God is doing in your life. So this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Our topic tonight was Mental Wellness Hospitality Part 3, and the topic was brokenness. And I pray that something said has been inspirational to you, uplifting, informational, and we pray that you take heed to the prophetic instructions, because Erica gave prophetic instructions, so did Apostle Sheila, and God released some prophetic instructions through me. And I want to leave you with Isaiah 54:17. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. The weapons are going to form, but they're not going to prosper. The brokenness was designed to take you out, but God used it to like bring you in and to gather you closer to him so that you could really learn who you are. And if you was not powerful, if you didn't have the measure of grace that you do have upon your life, guess what? You wouldn't be a threat to the enemy, and the enemy wouldn't even give you a second thought. So don't get caught up in what he is doing. Just use the weapons that God gave you, prayer, praise, and start using the blood of Jesus if you're not using it, and start using the fire of God, and start speaking the word of God. Because our words aren't going to do anything, but God's word will change everything, and there's life in the word. So God bless you all. Next Friday, Mental Wellness Hospitality Part 4, and the topic is going to be Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. And our host is going to be Apostle Sheila. She will be overseeing next week's session, and Erica and I will assist in the conversation. All of the shows have been complementing each other. So God is really going underneath the surface to highlight some topics. And we just thank you all for joining us. And if all hearts and minds are clear, we are going to say tonight. Anything, Apostle or Erica, that I'm missing?
No, not at all.
So God bless everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to get in contact with us, please reach out to www.eloquentlyspeaking.com, and I can respond to you there. Please give your website address, Erica, and then Apostle Sheila, give your contact information as well.
This is Sheila. They can reach me at SheilaAOlive417@gmail.com.
Thank you. Okay, Erica, you want to give your website address? Oh,
she said,
got disconnected. Yeah. Okay. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and have a wonderful night, a wonderful weekend as well. Love you all. Good night.
Good night.